that on the rise, and we've got to have a stable kind of Afghanistan if we're intending to deal with Pakistan. So
okay.
you've got a whole series of events that are occurring here that suit the U.S. long-term interests.
Well, what about that, Mr. Stugall? We look at the situation. We've just heard from our guests in Washington about the United States making sure to try to support those that are more moderate. But if we see Washington's policies that have taken place in the last decade or so, not just in Afghanistan, but across the world, we see that in certain areas they have actually supported extremist elements. So how do they make that differentiation between who they are willing to negotiate with, who they should talk to, who they support, and who they won't even talk to?
Well, that's a big question, because a lot of times people support folks that are supposedly friendly to the United States, only to find out that they weren't. Remember, the Americans also supported free elections in Gaza, and look what they wound up with. But more importantly, aside from the politics, there was a survey done by the U.S. Geological Survey in Afghanistan, I believe about 2 years ago, only to find out it revealed that Afghanistan has a load of strategic minerals, platinum, uranium, amongst other things, to the tune of several hundred billion dollars if it could be refined. The Americans don't want those strategic materials to land in the hands of the Taliban.
So you feel that that's a big factor, perhaps trying to make sure that they get their say over these minerals that's in Afghanistan?
Yes. The New York Times ran, I think it was a 3 or 4 page story on this. And remember one thing, you had a similar circumstance in South Africa, and the Americans wanted to make sure that a radical government in South Africa did not take place because of all the strategic materials found in South Africa. So they're worried about the same thing happening in Afghanistan.
Well, let's go back to Mr. Maloof. You had talked about the security and that there's going to be a difference, a transition now between the combat troops now and trainers. You're talking about security, and after 13 years, though, we have anything but a secure Afghanistan, that now not only are bombs continuing to go off and attacks by the Taliban, but even American bases themselves are regularly attacked. So please expand on exactly what has been accomplished by the Americans in these 13 years.
Well, I think I think your point's well taken. The problem that occurred in Afghanistan is that we got derailed, got sidetracked because of Iraq, and as a consequence, the Taliban was able to come back in force, and so we're dealing with something that's far more serious. But I think the reality has set in as to just who the concerns, who the enemies really are of the U.S. and indeed a lot of the countries in the region, and that is the more militant, more extremist Salafi Wahhabists that are gaining momentum. And we're actually seeing a rise of this now once again in Afghanistan. And you've got Pakistan right next door, which has some 32 terrorist entities that could continue to attack. And that continues to be a problem, particularly in an area such as Afghanistan. And if that is overtaken, and as the New York guest points out, if it's overtaken, then any desire of the U.S. to have access to any of these strategic minerals will be null and void. So it's not just the strategic, but it's also the influence of maintaining the influence there, and also to watch because of China. We need to maintain that kind of a presence. And I think you're going to see the United States doing more economically toward Pakistan, but in association with Iran and with China. And the U.S. just needs a presence there. And that's why Afghanistan is very key, because it's so centralized. And of course, there's the military aspect that the U.S. wants to maintain some presence, because they want to keep an eye on Iran, and that's where a few of the drones took off from. So, but I think there's a far greater economic and political consideration for U.S. wanting to maintain its presence there.
What about that, Mr. Stogel? What Mr. Maalouf just talked about was also one of the points he made, was trying to contain the extremist Salafist elements. It appears that it's a little late, or it took the United States a very, very long time, if they were actually trying to differentiate who was whom, or if they were supporting these entities that perhaps got out of their control. Your take on that, what he said, that now they're trying to make sure that they contain the Salafists, that many people would say that they would not be where they are today as far as the extremism in the Salafists if it wasn't for the United States.
Well, I think the United States would be in a far worse position had they totally abandoned Afghanistan over the last several years. They basically put Afghanistan, the way I see it, on autopilot. So now they're trying to make up for lost time. The question is, you've got an embattled president here in the United States that has to contend with a lot of things hitting him at one time. You've got Obamacare, you've got Benghazi, the Libya fiasco has still not been resolved. So the big question is whether Barack Obama, in the final 2 years of his presidency, can act as a juggler and balance all these wild cards hitting him at the same time. And I think the question, that's the big question, and the answer nobody seems to know at this time.
Mr. Maalouf, if the United States had not gotten involved in Afghanistan, how do you think the scenario in this area would be different today?
Oh, I think the Taliban would have definitely taken over. I think you would have seen a far greater rise of the Salafists throughout all of Central Asia. I mean, when I was at the Defense Department, I actually helped train border guards in Uzbekistan, Kazakhstan, and the terrorist threat was very real then, with the IMU coming in from Tajikistan. Now that with the United States leaving Afghanistan, we're seeing once again the IMU actually coming back to life. They were almost decimated at one point, and they're actually using the northern part of Afghanistan to now start moving back into the Fergana Valley, into Uzbekistan, another area that has tremendous influence from Iran. And also into Kazakhstan, and with these guys linked up with the Chechens coming out of the North Caucasus, there seems to be a pattern of behavior, an overarching strategic goal of Al Qaeda Central out of Pakistan to link all of these groups up, and ultimately to have a two-pronged approach, a two-pronged attack, mm-hmm. to create caliphates. Across Central Asia into Europe, and also through the Arabian Peninsula, North Africa, into the Maghreb, and coming in from the south. So there is, it's not a one-time event. It's an evolving development over a course of years that is beginning to develop, and there is a strategic plan that we're seeing Al-Qaeda undertake, and all of these groups help form that pattern of behavior.
Well, Mr. Stogel, your take on that, because if we go back 13 years ago and we look at the situation and compare it to today, we see Al-Qaeda or Al-Qaeda-linked militants now just about all over the Middle East and North Africa and spreading to other parts of the world. So what was it that the United States did not accomplish? Why could not they have stopped the expansion of these terrorist entity that compared to what we see today, it is much greater than what we saw 13 years ago?
Well, you may see... In my view, you have not seen any major al-Qaeda attacks over the last 13, especially in Afghanistan. What you're seeing more splinter groups being more heavily covered than they were in the past by the news media. So I think overall, the Americans did accomplish their goal by basically forcing al-Qaeda to fragment, which is the situation that you see now. I think the big question is whether those individual fragments can coalesce into a single entity
let me just jump in here, Mr. Stogel, because of what you're saying that there hasn't been any major attacks. If we see what has happened in the region, if we see the utter destruction that has taken place in Syria, if we see the almost daily bombings in Iraq, then probably one would say that they have not done well in actually containing Al-Qaeda.
But these are splinter groups which I believe have existed for a long time. Insofar as major attacks, I don't think you've seen anything on the scale of 9/11, for instance, taking place. Insofar as what's happened with the Arab Spring.
Sorry to interrupt. More than 8,000 Iraqis were killed last year, with the majority of them actually being killed by al-Qaeda linked militants. Well, I'm just going to jump to Washington. I only have 30 seconds to go.
Well, were they really al-Qaeda? Were they really al-Qaeda, or was it a continuing Iraqi civil war? I'm not really sure that you can blame al-Qaeda for the Iraqi civil war. You've got long-standing animosities, historical animosities, that are coming to the surface, not unlike what happened in Yugoslavia about 15 years ago.
I don't want to change the subject, but we know that ISIL has been behind the majority of what is taking place in Iraq. And Mr. Maalouf, 30 seconds. What will it take? Now, do you think the United States is going to actually be able to help bring that security that the Afghans are looking for, that they haven't been able to do in 13 years? What is going to make a difference now that the troops supposedly are not going to be there themselves, but now are training, something they couldn't even do themselves?
Yeah, I think the United States cannot do it alone. I think the United States is going to have to work with Iran. It's going to have to work with the other countries in the region to affect that. But indeed, al-Qaeda is on the rise. And that's why we're seeing the turmoil in Syria and certainly in Iraq today.
Okay, I'm so sorry to interrupt you. So sorry to interrupt you. We are out of time. Sorry. I appreciate both my guests for being with us. Out of Washington, Mr. Michael Maalouf, former Pentagon officer, and out of New York, Mrs. Stuart Stugall, UN correspondent, Newsmax magazine. And thank you, viewers, for being with us. See you tomorrow.